This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
On the WAMU Center stage, and of course, don't miss the World Music Stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy, the Neville Brothers, Habib Coit, the Wailers, and Taj Mahal. Get early bird tickets till April 16th at any Houston area HEB location or online at ifest.org or at the gate. Come downtown to the Houston International Festival, brought to you by KPFT Houston.
The National Museum of Mexican Art in Chicago, in collaboration with the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, Arte Público Press, Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, the Mexican American Cultural Center, MECA, Museo Alameda, Nuestra Palabra, Talento Bilingüe de Houston, St. Thomas University, and others present the 2008 Sor Juana Festival, a tribute to Mexican women, beginning March 26th through May 14th, 2008, in Houston, Austin, and San Antonio, Texas. This festival includes music, dance, theater, literature, photography, film, and much more. We invite you to the inaugural concert, Divinas 2008, at Miller Outdoor Theater with El Mariachi Rosas Divinas from Dallas-Fort Worth and others. Admission is free. For more information, visit nationalmuseumofmexicanart.org. Join us and celebrate the Sor Juana Festival, tribute to Mexican women. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston, Radio for Peace.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to my fifth anniversary show. And this one will be a bit different, as you may have already figured out by the opening song. That was a group called Modern Rocketry, and in 1985, they released what just might be the gayest disco song ever, as it was just called Homosexuality. And gay disco music is the subject of this show. And while I've played a few disco songs on my past shows here and there, I have never approached the music as a genre. That's my mission tonight, and it'll be continued in part two, airing at the same time next week. That's right, I've had two-part shows before, but never back-to-back a week later. And I want to thank my Queer Voices producer for allowing the extra time this month. So I'm going to try to tackle the subject of gay disco music and to explore, in my opinion, what it is and what it isn't. Now note that I said gay disco music, and I found that my first challenge is that to most people, disco music is gay music. For example, I could be describing my radio show to someone who hasn't heard of it, and I'd say its purpose is to share and preserve the history of gay music. They'd say, oh, disco music. No, no. And I'll climb up on my soapbox and ask why they would think disco music is gay music, since most of it is by straight artists, mostly women, and only a tiny percent is lyrically gay. Very little of it is actually about our lives. By this time, their eyes were quickly glazing over, and I realized once again I've taken the purist approach. But I certainly can't deny that to most people, disco or dance music is the genre most associated with gay culture. Now, I'm not going to completely ignore disco music produced by straight artists, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But before we get any further, I want to encourage you to stick around for the last part of tonight's show for a special interview with probably our greatest drag diva, RuPaul. She's had plenty of very queer dance releases, all done her way. So I'm going to be covering the major gay disco artists and quite a number of songs that actually have gay lyrics. Some of them were quite obscure, and my regular listeners know by now how I love to share the obscure recordings of our history. And to define things a bit more, a lot of the music I'll talk about can be described with the term trash disco. These were the hits we danced to in the late 70s and into the early 80s. I have a particular fondness for this music, as it's the first music I heard when I came out. It's the music that for many of us helped us celebrate our gayness. You could say it was our party music up until AIDS ended the party. And by the way, in the background, you've been hearing an instrumental produced by Miko from 1978. He's not gay, but I couldn't resist using his dance version of Over the Rainbow. Okay, that's way too much talking without getting onto some more music, so let's get started. I can't get too far without talking about the almost cliche phrase, gay anthem. And for the most part, when you think about it, it's easy to conclude that the songs you'll hear next were written specifically for gay men. They related to a gay lifestyle, but were generally performed by women, probably to allow greater commercial success. I've put together a medley of 8 of the best of these to show you what I mean.
Different angle, your life.
I started and ended that medley with Gloria Gaynor and the song I Am What I Am from 1984. It has perhaps the most legitimate claim to the title Gay Anthem, as it is actually a lyrically gay song, and of course it came from the Broadway hit musical Le Casual Fall. Most of the others you'll also know. I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, We Are Family by Sister Sledge, and Into the Man songs with Grace Jones and I Need a Man, Hazel Dean with Searchin', Gotta Find Me a Man, the more obscure I Need a Man in My Life by British singer Katie Kassoon, and the super classics, Mikkel Brown with So Many Men, So Little Time, and the Weather Girls doing It's Raining Men. And both of those had very hot videos.
Let's dance, let's change flow.
And someone is probably going to ask, where's Donna Summer? Well, while considered by most to be the queen of disco, her songs just had a different slant. She wasn't singing about looking for a man. She had great music, but I just don't think of her hits as being gay anthems. But talking about her leads nicely to the first obscurity of the show. In the background, you've been hearing an earlier version of Donna Summer's hit, Last Dance, done as a ballad by the song's writer, Paul Chabara. He really should be more known because in addition to writing Last Dance, which by the way won him an Oscar and a Grammy, he wrote The Main Event for Barbra Streisand and the smash duet by Donna and Barbara, No More Tears, Enough is Enough. And if that wasn't enough, he co-wrote It's Raining Men. But I'd like to share with you a song that he sang that never thought about being a hit, but I loved it. It's a disco cover version of a song by one of my favorite teen crushes, Bobby V. It's the classic, Take Good Care of My Baby.
My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've gotta say. Take good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do. We'll be right back.
Carl Jabara from 1978, and Patty Brooks came in on the end of that with the song, What Am I Gonna Do? Jabara died of AIDS in 1992, one of a number of gay male artists from the disco world to suffer that fate. And when you talk about dance artists who have died of AIDS, probably the first one that deserves our attention is Sylvester. He had a very colorful music career well before he had his first disco hit. In 1970, he joined the San Francisco phenomenon, the Cockettes, and released several albums of mostly R&B-oriented material well before he struck gold in 1978 with a pair of disco classics, Dance Disco Heat and You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. They were brought to life by the production genius of Patrick Cowley, and he had one more hit with Cowley called Do You Wanna Funk, recorded shortly before Cowley died of AIDS in 1982 at age 32. Sylvester himself died of AIDS in 1988. Here's a quick medley of all three songs. Regrettably, if I'm going to make any headway, I'm only going to be able to play short clips of most of the songs on this show. Again, that was Dance Disco Heat, You Make Me Feel Mighty Real, and Do You Wanna Funk? On many of Sylvester's recordings, he had the help of a duo called the Two Tons of Fun, later known as the Weather Girls. In 1981, Patrick Cowley had a solo hit with another classic, with Sylvester contributing vocals. It was called Menergy. I've read that Cowley and his business partner were working on a song called Energy, and they were high and jokingly stuck a letter M in front of it, and an inspiration was born. Patrick Cowley was a major contributor to the use of the synthesizer in dance music, and you can hear his influence in artists like the Pet Shop Boys. Patrick Cowley's very gay title, Menergy. He also wrote and produced the hit Right on Target for gay artist Paul Parker. Up next is a little diversion using a song I'm sure you've heard before.
He thinks you're gay.
He thinks I'm gay? Gay?
Hot stuff coming through.
Come out of the closet, come out of the closet, closet.
That's one of those snippets you can find on the internet and never know the source. Obviously, someone crafted gay comments from The Simpsons, and they put them over the song Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now, from 1991 by CC and the Music Factory. By the way, that was Marsha Wash of the Weather Girls singing lead on that one.
Hey, this is RuPaul, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And now, since having an internet version of this show allows me to stretch it a little, I can't resist including the audio from one of my favorite scenes from the movie In-N-Out. Kevin Kline is taking butch lessons. This always makes me smile.
Welcome to our series on exploring your masculinity. This is audio tape number one, Getting a Grip. Are you dressed in suitably masculine attire?
Very.
Are you in control?
Yes.
Are you ready to take charge? Are you a man?
Yes.
You're in a bar room.
Okay.
Repeat after me. Yo.
Yo.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
What a fabulous window treatment.
What a fabulous
That
window.
Was your trick.
Oh! There.
We have come to the most critical area of masculine behavior.
What?
Dancing.
First I was afraid, I was petrified.
Yes.
Truly manly men do not dance.
Oh, come on!
Under any circumstances, this will be your ultimate test. At all costs, avoid rhythm, grace, and pleasure. Whatever you do, do not dance.
Whoops!
Can you hear it?
Yes.
Can you hear the demon? Dance, the demon whispers. Everyone else is dancing. They're getting down. They're getting funky now. They're having fun. Not you.
No.
Catch the fever. Feel the heat of the disco beat. It's calling to you. Do not listen. Men do not dance. They work. They drink. They have bad backs. They do not dance. Hold still. Hold tight. Whatever you do, do not dance.
Arnold doesn't dance. He can barely walk. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop dancing.
So, how did you do, pussy boy?
Now, I want to squeeze in an underground classic. In 1981, San Francisco DJ Bill Motley started a label named after the popular bar Moby Dick. And his first release was a wonderful medley of the songs Remember Me and Ain't No Mountain High Enough. But its flip side attracted its own attention. Guest vocalist Cynthia Manley started off the song Cruisin' in the Streets. And it contains some of the most sexually aggressive lyrics of that era.
Leather jacket. Kind of kinky looking.
Yeah, he went that way.
He's the ultimate man as far as I'm concerned, if you know what I mean. But I can never get anywhere with him. You'll probably have better luck. Well, see you around, sugar.
Got a cigarette?
Sure.
Thanks. Beautiful night.
Sure is.
Come here often?
Not really.
Yeah, I've never seen you here before.
You're a hot man.
Hey, you're kind of hot too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Alas, that was a very edited version of Cruising in the Streets by the Boys Town Gang. And another song I have to edit is by the Scat Brothers. In 1980, with their song Walk the Night, they got into a little S&M. And I'm not talking about stand and model. Up next is a top 10 hit from 1974 by Monty Rock III. Oh, you're not sure if you've heard of him? Well, he's one of those show business curiosities of questionable talent who's somehow been around for decades. As a flamboyant actor, entertainer, hairdresser, and now a gossip columnist in Las Vegas. He was on the Johnny Carson Show 84 times, and in the mid-70s, he managed a million seller with the song Get Dancin' under the name Discotheques and the Sexolettes. This is a very truncated version of the song because I want you to hear the end where he tells the crowd his chiffon is wet.
Get
What you fun and all, that was Disco Tex and the Sexolettes, also known as Monty Roth III, with Get Dancin'. Now I want to tell you about some songs that are much more obscure and with much more openly gay lyrics. In 1976, there was a French porn movie called Sex O'Clock USA, and it even had a soundtrack, which was released only in France and Canada. It featured the very gay song, You're My Man. Here's just a bit of it.
You're my man, and you know that I love you so. Oh, baby, you're my man, you're my man, and I want the whole world to know. You're the sun, the stars, you're my guiding light, and when you take me in your arms,
explore a world of entertainment April 19th, 20th, 27th, and 28th at the Houston International Festival, spotlighting Out of Africa in downtown. Make the Out of Africa Zone your first stop. Visit a reproduction of one of the eight wonders of the world, the mountain-carved Church of Lalibela. Take out the North American debut of the National Dance Theater of Ethiopia on the WAMU Center stage. And, of course, don't miss the World Music Stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy, the Neville Brothers, Habib Coit, The Wailers, and Taj Mahal. Get early bird tickets till April 16th at any Houston area HEB location or online at ifest.org or at the gate. Come downtown to the Houston International Festival, brought to you by KPFT Houston.
really, you know, turning out so much product and doing so many different things. So I've always been a very emotional person. My mother would say, Rue, you're too damn sensitive. And it's true, I am. So the album reflects who I am. You know, before, on my other records, I really wanted to, you know, not necessarily play it safe, because drag has never been safe, but I wanted to, you know, not sort of hit anybody over the head with, you know, my ideals. I wanted the music to just be fun and for people to enjoy it. Now, you know, I'm older and I own my power more than ever before, and I wanted to say something that was relevant.
So other than more meatier lyrics, how is this different from your past work?
Well, there's more of me in it. I didn't really have to compromise anything. I took years to actually make this record, and it's very, very thought out. There's a lot of songs that didn't make it onto the album. So, you know, I had a lot of time to think about this, and I was the one calling all the shots. You know, before, they were collaborative efforts. And yes, I did collaborate on this album, but in terms of what ended up on the record, it was all my choice.
So you had more control.
Yes.
Is the song Coming Out of Hiding also sort of a coming out anthem?
It is absolutely a coming out anthem, but it also was my doctrine to come back to the scene, to come back to being a public figure. I had basically living a very personal life for the past 4 years. You know, it was my way of saying, okay, I'm ready to come back to be the RuPaul that everyone knows, and actually more of the RuPaul that people don't know.
Because it was more personal.
More personal. You know, when I started out show business, it was the dream of a kid, of a young kid, who wanted to be famous. And I got famous, and I was able to do a lot of great, wonderful work. But then, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. And I achieved that goal, and, you know, I can't continue with the original dream. I had to figure out why I wanted to do this anymore. In fact, I thought for a minute I probably wouldn't come back to it, but I did come back because I have a lot more work to do, and plus, you know, there's nobody else out there doing what I do, you know, and I feel like I have a duty to some of the younger kids to show that there's more than one way to see the world. There's more than one way to sculpt your life or to sort of mold your life.
Well, it's like you created yourself and you're doing it your way.
Absolutely.
I've been living in the shadows, a dark and lonely place, an empty room without a window, no sun upon my face. But I'm coming out into the light of day, don't stand in my way. I made up my mind, it's time for me to shine, this moment is. And if I have to beg, steal, or borrow, you will remember my name. 'Cause I'm coming out into the light of day. Don't stand in my way. I've made up my mind. It's time for me to shine. This moment is.
Tell me about Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous.
Well, Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous is a very optimistic song about owning your God-given beauty. You are God's gift to this world. All of us really are. And it's about owning that. And it's an affirmation that you should say every single day. You know, a lot of kids out there don't feel that way. I get a lot of emails from kids who are stuck in some town in Texas or Indiana, who feel so disenfranchised and feel like there's nothing for them out there. Well, this is an anthem that says, you know what? You are gorgeous. You're fabulous. Go out and strut your stuff.
How do I look?
Love is Love. That's going on to other uses, too. I believe you contributed to the Marry Me project.
Yes, yes.
What was the inspiration for the song?
Well, I just fed up with ignorance.
Yeah.
Fed up with people thinking, saying, you know, that there's only one kind of love that is valid. And it's like, you know, if you've ever loved, you know that love sees no color. Love is love. And, you know, truthfully, there aren't different kinds of love. Like, we have this misconception that the love you have for your mother is different from the love you have for a lover. No, love is love. It's the same one. The same respect, the same care you would give to a brother, it's the same care you give to your pet or your, you know. And you actually do people a disservice by putting them in a special category of love. Like, if my boyfriend, I love in a special category. That's not a gift. That's a cage.
I see you look at me and judge me with your eyes. Your words are meant to hurt and cut me down to size. Why must I explain to you? He loves me, I love him too. What on earth has that to do with you? So you criticize, do you realize I'm a person just like you? Not gonna run and hide. And you will see that love is blind.
I understand the phrase RuPaul is Red Hot has some history to it.
Yes, RuPaul is Red Hot is a slogan I came up with in Atlanta, Georgia over 20 years ago when I was starting out. And I thought it was important for me to acknowledge my humble beginnings on my return. I'm coming out of the ashes, renewed and rejuvenated. So I thought it'd be perfect for me to start where it all began. With RuPaul is Red Hot.
These were like posters that you put up?
I put flyers from Kinko's all over Midtown Atlanta, and I'd become famous in that area of Georgia for doing that. I'd become famous for my self-promotion, and then I started working in... I was in a band at the time when I was promoting a band. I was making my name well-known, and it worked.
What would you consider the queerest song you've done?
Well, Probably RuPaul the Red-Nosed Drag Queen. But on this album, let's see, the queer song on this album, it may be Kinky Freaky, which is about men on the DL. You know, the whole...
It's
pretty out there. And maybe that one, you know, which talks about a man who's, I guess, with a woman who wants to creep with drag queen.
A lot of your songs are really kind of on the edge of being really out, but they don't push it in your face.
Right. Well, on The Price of One, it's another scenario where I'm in a club and a guy is coming on to me, and I tell him what the deal is, and he's like, I'm fine with what the deal is, you know, and I say, well, you get two for the price of one. I'm more man than you'll ever be, more woman than you'll ever have.
Can you tell me about the song Free to Be?
Free to Be was done, written for the Wigstock movie, and it was released through Elektra Records, and I love that song. In fact, it's one of my favorite songs that I wrote with Jimmy Harry, and it's, you know, I'm born in 1960, I grew up in the 70s and the whole Free to Be, You and Me era, and I wanted to bring a bit of that back because, you know, when I wrote that song, and I think 95 or 96, something like that, I could sense that ideal was leaving and absent from our culture, and I was right. It's all but gone.
Free to be what you want, free to love who you need. Everybody, you got the right to be free. So come on and let your love and shine, yeah. Come on and let your love and shine.
Gather, you recorded the theme song for Queer Duck.
Yeah.
And you were also associated otherwise with that project?
Well, I did some voices. I did the voice of two characters on there, I believe. It's been so long. Two characters on there, and I sang the theme song.
Queer Duck. He's intellectual, Queer Duck. He's homosexual. Please don't think that he's perverse. He's the patient's favorite male nurse. He's okay, he's just a fake, 'cause he's openly gay. He's a truly queer, Queer Duck. Queer Duck.
You can stuff me with breadcrumbs.
I want to ask about a quote. Every time I bat my eyelashes, it's a political statement. Can you expand on it?
Well, being yourself, following your heart is the most political thing you could do. So anytime you do follow your heart, you're going to rub somebody the wrong way. Somebody's not going to be happy with that. And, you know, and it's completely organic when you follow your heart. In fact, I got into drag because it was what I was told not to do. The reason I was attracted to it was because I was told, you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's still what attracts me to drag. It was never about, you know, I want to be a woman or I want to, you know, dressing in women's clothes make me feel good. It was a lark. It was a wink. And it was to piss people off. It was punk rock. I didn't know, though, when I started it, that people's reaction to me was going to be, damn, you look good. You know, I didn't count on that part. So I thought, well, I'll take it. I'll use it. And I have.
And you do look stunning in drag.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I've got one more song. But before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening and to thank RuPaul for the very special interview. I also want to give a special thanks to my friend David Norman in England for his input. He's become a faithful internet listener to my show, and I bounced ideas off him on how to shape this one. He provided me with some song ideas and even MP3 files for a couple of songs I lacked. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I wish you would. My website, of course, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. and please tune in to Queer Music Heritage next week for part two of my gay disco special. Back to the interview.
Tell me about Strudel Model.
Well, that was funny because we were going to do a maxi single of the song Supermodel, and I think Strudel Model was, Strudel Model I think may have been on the next single of Back to My Roots. You know, we wanted to do it as fun. Everything I do has a lot of, you know, humor in it. But of course, underneath the humor, there is the real message of loving yourself and having fun with this life experience.
Yo, better there. The camera, it don't matter what you wear, they're checking out your civil fare. It don't matter what you do, cause everything looks good on you. Strudel Model.
Now, you didn't really think I was going to end the show with Strudel Model, did you? That was the parody. From 1993 is the real thing, RuPaul's biggest hit so far, Supermodel.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
Turn with
I have one thing to say. You better work.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
Tonight's the night that I'm gonna be the way that I wanna feel. Don't need no one to try and tell me that I can make it be real. I'm gonna go get dressed up my best, put you all to the test. Let me see what you got now. We're having fun, the party's just begun. Tonight I'm gonna be the one who's free, yeah, and happy. I wanna be free, yeah, and happy. I wanna be free, yeah, and happy. I wanna be free, yeah, and happy.
This is J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage, a part of Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. And this is part two of my special on gay disco music. My aim on these two shows is to explore the gay side of disco, focusing on gay artists and songs that are lyrically gay, some of which were quite obscure. And if you missed part one, it's available for streaming at my website, www.queermusicheritage.com. You'll want to stick around because in a few minutes, you'll hear a special interview about the Village People with someone who's an expert, their cowboy, Randy Jones. Now, starting off this edition was the British act Coming Out Crew with the very catchy Free, Gay, and Happy from 1995. Like a lot of dance songs, that one came out with a number of mixes, and it was Sabrina Johnston singing lead. If you listened to my show last week, you heard me comment that very few disco songs were actually by gay artists, and only a very small percent of those had gay lyrics. I've had many experiences over the years when I had a chance to walk into the major dance music stores in the gay ghettos of New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, and so on, and ask the owners if they could recommend any music that was lyrically gay. I always just got blank stares. And yet, if you look at the covers of the scores of dance music CDs in the stores, with titles like Gay Happening, Gay Dancing, Gay Power, and so on, you'll be lucky to find one gay artist on each one. But most of them, of course, have photos of hunks on the covers. That's just good marketing. But where are the gay songs? Why don't CDs obviously aimed at the gay market contain songs that speak to us? I wish I knew. While researching this project, I put together a spreadsheet of the songs I was considering. A very short spreadsheet. The list is not all that long. I noticed that most of the blatantly gay songs, my favorites, of course, were also the most obscure. The ones that became hits left their gayness open to interpretation or innuendo, like this one. That was gay artist Paul Lekakis from 1990 with, of course, Boom, 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 Let's Go Back to My Room. So my mission on these two shows was to bring you the disco music that was actually by gay artists and the songs that had gay lyrics. And this next song is one of the most blatant, and definitely one of the rarest, as it was never even released on record or CD. It's from 2000 by a duo calling themselves Rent. I downloaded it from the site mp3.com several years ago, and there was almost no information about them, just a photo and three or four songs. I remember I emailed them at the time asking about a release and got an answer back that they were working on one but could not predict when that would happen. They have now disappeared beyond the grasp of internet search engines, so I may never learn anything more. But I'm glad to share with you a little of their song called I Love to Be Queer. I Love to Be Queer by Rent. I want to slip in a song now for sentimental reasons. The artist, Linda Clifford, is not gay, and the lyrics aren't either. But I'll always remember it because it's the first song to which I danced with a man, and I thought it was a very fitting choice. Both of those were from 1978. I went from Linda Clifford's If My Friends Could See Me Now to an even bigger hit, I Love the Nightlife by Alicia Bridges, which reached number 5 on the Billboard charts. We didn't know it then, but Alicia Bridges was more of a kindred spirit than we thought. She came out of the closet in 1998. Next up, the Village People. They were a phenomenon. There's no other way to describe it. The writing-producing team of Jacques Morelli and Henry Bellalo put together 6 men who were Christopher Street fantasies come to life. They were able to exploit gay images without offending their straight audience, with some of the catchiest songs of the disco era. And their music has become part of Americana. But let's hear a quick medley of several of their gayest songs. just some of the Village People's major recordings. In order, they were Fire Island, Macho Man, which blended into the very gay I Am What I Am, Key West, San Francisco, YMCA, In the Navy, and Go West. And I'm delighted to bring you an interview with the cowboy from the Village People, Randy Jones.
Welcome to Queer Music Heritage.
Thank you, JD. How you doing, man?
Doing good. I want to find out a lot. The six of you kind of portrayed Christopher Street images come to life. Now it has kind of a camp aspect. Do you think that was ever intended?
Well, I think it was a genius. It was all intended. We very, very definitely intended to do everything that we did. But it was very, very complicated, and it was convoluted, and people were aware of the differing of all of it to varying degrees. But not only did we feel that, you know, we were kind of like spoofing or copying images that you could see in homosexual subculture or in Christopher Street at that time, but we also were taking those images from the Hollywood film industry that had already pervaded these images. These images had already been distributed, accepted, absorbed, and people were familiar and comfortable with them all over the world because of the film industry, Hollywood. We took images that were not only people familiar with, they were American icons, they were safe, they were non-threatening, and they were something that we could use to purvey our music and subtly and subversively purvey our liberation message in a totally non-offensive way.
Okay, how many of the original members were gay?
Well, I truly don't know. From personal experience, I honestly do not know. I know Glenn has passed away now, so, and I really, you know, I mean,
I think Felipe has been very out.
I did do an interview with Felipe. We both were in the Advocate, so I could say, yeah, Felipe. Felipe has definitely owned up to what his life is.
I've read reports here and there, and you can tell me if they're true, that Jacques Morali gave directives to the group not to discuss their sexuality.
It's not so much that Jacques gave that directive, but we realized what we were doing, and we realized that if we wanted to sell Halloween costumes and lunchboxes, as we did, to children, and have, you know, young teenage girls want to put our poster up on the back of their bedroom door, and if we wanted to continue to be pinups in 16 and Super Teen magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So we all decided that the best thing for us to do was to not answer directly either way, and to pretty much say that the only person that really needs to know the answer to that question is if I want you to be in my bed, and sir, I don't. That's how we pretty much.
Well, the element of mystery is always appealing to the public, too.
Sort of the way it is. Once they find out everything about you, then they're not interested anymore. You know, so that was one of the things that we decided early on. It disturbed some of the people, especially in the gay media early on, that because our original audience had been really heavy Black, Latin, and gay, and certainly gay people, the gay media wanted to hold us up as an example and say, you know, this is a gay group. But the truth of the matter is, everybody in the group is not gay, was and is not gay.
The lyrics in the act were geared to the gay market, at least at first, right?
Well, when you listen to a song like Fire Island, where it says don't go in the bushes, I mean, that's good advice for anybody. It just says don't go in the bushes.
Right, but they were celebrating gay images, San Francisco, Key West.
Yeah, we were. We were celebrating places that had become known as places where gay men gathered. We walked that fine line.
It was like it was gay enough to appeal to the gay market, subtle enough not to offend the mainstream.
Well, yes, what it was, if you were gay and you were aware of it, or you knew people that were gay or had never been there, then you would get what it was we were doing on that level. But if you didn't, you just see it as a big old celebration of a place. There wasn't anything in there that we said about gay or anything about having sex with men. You know what? More straight people enjoyed, got off on what we were doing, and bought records than certainly gay people did.
Well, that have to be so because due to the millions sold.
Right, because millions more heterosexual people bought it than gay people did. So one of the reasons it's lasted so long and it still holds up, I mean, is because it was such a delicate, fine balance.
And the songs were just incredibly catchy.
There you go. Again, you know, a fine-crafted pop song is one of the hardest things in the world to create, and...
And Jacques did several.
Well, Jacques and the team. I give Jacques Morelli lots of credit, but Henry Belolo was the absolute executive producer, and if he didn't run it out, it didn't go out. Plus, there was Horace Ott, who was the most incredible arranger and orchestration person. The one name that always has to be remembered in all of this, and some people, and it's probably one of the least known names by the broad population, is Henri Belolo. And Henry was the executive producer, and he was our manager. And Henry, he just was brilliant in what he did.
What's your favorite Village People song?
Probably YMCA. I honestly thought the title cut from the fourth album, called Go West. I really love Go West, but I love what Go West says. I think it's a beautiful tune, and Go West and YMCA.
What did you think of the Pet Shop Boys version of Go West?
Hey, they got even millions more people aware of it. I think they did a terrific job on it. But Go West and the lyrics and what it says, it's a really a wonderful song.
Which song do you think is the gayest?
Is the gayest? I don't know. Do you remember a song from, it was either the Macho Man album or the YMCA album called My Roommate?
Yeah.
You remember that song? My roommate. That's pretty gay. Talks about how he wears my clothes and I go to look in my closet to find my favorite shirt and my roommate has it on. And so, I mean, that's probably one of the gayest ones.
My roommate, he has a landing pole. I go to the closet to put on my coat. Instead on the hanger, I find him this note. I went to the disco, I took your best coat. My roommate.
Also, I Am What I Am is pretty gay.
Yes, oh, it certainly is. Oh, you know what? From the Macho Man album, when we sing Macho Man and then segue, the first half of the album goes right into I Am What I Am. It's very, you might say it's gay, but it's what it says is it doesn't have to be gay. It's just a liberation anthem. It says I am what I am and what I am, what I am, and what I'll be. But there's another one too that we do in Can't Stop the Music called Liberation.
Right.
And you listen to those lyrics and that, I mean, even in the movie, when we're singing that, I mean, we do it as a bunch of, like the Marx Brothers, like goofing up and messing up and making the mic stands fall over, but you listen to what we're singing, we're talking about the time for liberation is now. And, that's what we sing about. And, you know, people would, that song really, even the way it's done, it's almost done like a Germanic dong, dong, very strong,
anthemic.
Anthemic, yes. It's anthemic, and it's very much, maybe that's a gay one, but it's about liberation. And we were singing about that way back in 1978 and 79. Didn't get the credit for it.
Well, this has been a treat. It'll be a wonderful interview. Editing will be a challenge.
Yeah, but you know, you can do it. You can make a cut where I take a breath.
You don't take many breaths, Randy.
No, I don't. I've got great lung power. I never smoked, so I got great lungs.
And as often happens in interviews, after I finished the questions I had planned, there was more of interest discussed. I was explaining to Randy one of my goals for these two shows.
I'm really kind of digging into the philosophy of the gay part of disco music.
Yeah.
Because a lot, you know, people generalize and say, oh, disco music, gay music. Well, no, not really.
I know. You just have to...
And I always ask, I get on a soapbox and say, well, you know, hardly any of the artists were gay, and even less of the songs dealt with our lives.
Yep.
So why is it gay music?
I know. Exactly.
There are more gay folk singers. Why isn't that gay music?
Exactly. Or even rock and roll. Maybe you can come up with an answer why people call it gay music.
Well, but right. it's popular in the gay clubs, and that's what's identified with our culture more than anything else.
Well, you know what? I think it's because it was music of a time that was really about freedom and liberation, where we as people who had either been in high school or junior high school in the 60s when people were espousing the free love and the whole Woodstock era and those theories of where, when the breaking away the binds of the 50s were really happening, in the 70s people started to become of age, mature enough, old enough, legal, over 21 years old, and we were actually living out those philosophies. So I think this music came along at a time and sort of spoke of freedom, spoke of liberation, spoke certainly of personal and sexual freedom and liberation, and that is probably what was associated with gay people more than anything else at that time.
And I think there's a bit of trend setting too. First to spot Grace Jones or whomever.
Gay people.
Yeah.
The gay culture in the 70s was feeling untethered and liberated. So that's, I guess that's the deep reason why disco music is so associated with gay people. And certainly there were a lot of people who were gay that were involved with creating that music, but not as many as straight people, because there's always more straight people than there are gay people. But it was a wonderful time, don't you agree?
Yes, I loved it.
I did too. I mean, and there will never be another time like it. And people who didn't live through it
can't understand it,
but they all wish they'd been there. It's indescribable. You can't really describe it. It's like you can't really say how it was. And
it was the first wave of freedom.
Well, you know what? It was liberating, that's for sure. And I know my experience was not everybody's experience, but I certainly had the most incredible, wonderful time that a human being, I think, could have.
There was a lot more of that interview that I could not fit into this show. Actually, that was only about a third of it, and the rest of it I think is very interesting. You can hear it all on my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at the photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
Howdy, this is Randy Jones, the original cowboy of Village People, coming to you direct from New York's Greenwich Village, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage.
Oh, before we leave the Village People, I can't resist playing a little bit of this parody from 1979 by British comedian Billy Connolly.
Young man, are you tired of the scouts? I said, young man, do you want to get out? I said, young man, we won't knock you about. It'll be okay. Why worry? Young man, you'll be one of the gang. I said, young man, go with the bang. I said, young man, you will soon get the hang of it. It's okay, why worry? Young man, you will soon get the knack. I said, young man, you'll be carving your whack. I said, young man, we will bend.
That was In the Brownies by Billy Connolly. And I can't help myself, here's one more Village People diversion. Who would expect a cover version sung in Cantonese? That's enough of that, but it's just amazing what you can find on the internet. In the background, you're hearing the haunting opening of a gay dance music classic. Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat was the first song released from their debut album, Age of Consent, in 1984. It topped the dance charts here, and it reached number 3 on the pop charts in England, making it the first hit song there to deal openly with the struggle of gay people coming out in a homophobic society. One of my friends has shared with me that that song and the video helped him deal with his own coming out. Bronski Beat were Steve Bronski, Larry Steinbacek, and Jimmy Somerville, and it's Somerville's almost ethereal lead vocals that would become their trademark. They had a number of songs that were very political and dealt with gay issues, such as Why, You Are My World, Need a Man Blues, and a cover version of Donna Summer's I Feel Love, mixed with the song Johnny Remember Me. Jimmy Somerville continued making his very out music when he quit Bronski Beat to form the Communards, and after that as a solo artist. You seek will never be found at home. Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat, a very influential record, not just musically, but in the impact of its lyrics. You're hearing an example of the musical impact. Who would expect a cell phone ringtone being available to the tune of Small Town Boy? But I've got a much better example to share with you, and it's so new it hasn't even been shipped yet. So I want to thank DJ and promoter Harry Towers of New York for getting me this advanced copy. There's an act known as Dare to be Different, comprised of Deborah Torres and Polly D. And they've had several critically acclaimed releases in the past 10 years. But this time, it's more personal. The song Please was written by Polly D as a description of the day he moved out of the house to pursue life with his lover as a gay man. And it pays a musical tribute to Small Town Boy. Here's Dare to be Different and Please.
All my life I've heard this song, never thought mine would be the same. The secrets I had to hide, the memories and the pain. There came a time I had to leave, stand up for what with the hopes of doing things. My
Again, that was Dare to be Different. And I have a little more on Bronski Beat. Steve Bronski released on his own a very nice acoustic version of Small Town Boy in 1994. But I mentioned the Bronski Beat song called Why. Its lyrics were even more open. Contempt in your eyes as I turn to kiss his lips. Broken I lie, all my feelings denied. Blood on your fist, can you tell me why? Jimmy Somerville broke away from Bronski Beat. He and Richard Coles formed the Communards, and the song stayed political, as evidenced by this song from their 1987 album, Red. Obviously, that was There's More to Love Than Boy Meets Girl. Somerville went solo in 1989 and immediately produced perhaps his most political song, almost a battle cry, designed to bring awareness of AIDS issues into the pop music world. Was a little of Read My Lips. The works of Bronski Beat, the Communards, and Jimmy Somerville on his own were not the only gay dance songs to come out of England. In 1986, the group Eraser released a delightful cover version of ABBA's Gimme 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 A Man After Midnight.
There's nothing nasty, no one inside. There's not a soul out there. No one to hear my prayer. Gimme, gimme, gimme a man after midnight.
That was Andy Bell and Vince Clark of Eraser. And while not exactly lyrically gay, I can't leave out Relax, the worldwide smash hit by Frankie Goes to Hollywood from 1983. I sure remember dancing to that one. There were three different videos for that song. At the time, MTV aired the uncensored and very gay one only once, but now you can get them all on a DVD. One more Euro dance song. In 1995, a German artist going by the name Sin with Sebastian had a minor hit with Shut Up and Sleep With Me.
And sleep with me, come on, and sleep with me, shut up. And sleep with me, come on, why don't you sleep with me, shut up. And sleep with me, come on, and sleep with me, shut up. And sleep with me, come on, why don't you sleep with me, shut up. And sleep with me, come on.
But his album also contained the very out track He Belongs to Me. If I had time, I would let you sample some of the lyrically gay songs of the Pet Shop Boys, who did a smashing tribute to the Village People with their version of Go West, or their work was Dusty Springfield, but that'll have to wait until another show. Okay, last week I promised I would play some more very obscure disco songs with openly gay lyrics, and maybe that's why they stayed obscure, but the obscure will always get my attention. First up, in 1981, an artist named Michael Dane released the very laid-back song Let's Make Love.
Just to find me a man, 'cause I had me a hunger for some muscle and tat. I met me a guy in a silver Corvette. He was packing a ride, he was dripping with sweat.
Definitely goes downhill from there very quickly. In 1987, the artist Man Parrish joined the duo Man to Man to become one of several male acts covering the Grace Jones classic I Need a Man. In the early 90s, a French singer named Marseille released a cover version of the Charles Aznavour song, What Makes a Man a Man.
I'm just like every mother's son, I live at home, the only one. I sit for hours, we keep each other company, just to be friends as you can see. No hearts and flowers, at night I work in a strange bar, impersonating every star. I'm quite deceiving. The clientele come in with doubt and wonder what I'm all about. The fleas.
their eyes.
Tell me if you can, what makes a man?
And still another cover was done in 1998, this time of the Little Peggy March gem from the 60s. Probably could tell that English was not the first language for that artist, whose name is Lawrence Tan, a native of Singapore who has emigrated to Toronto. That was his version of I Will Follow Him. The last artist I'm featuring is Dan Hartman, another of our greats who we lost to AIDS. He died in 1994. In researching him, I learned that he had a career much more varied than I knew about. For example, he was a member of the Edgar Winter Group for several years in the early 70s. And in the 80s and early 90s, he did production work for such varied artists as James Brown, Tina Turner, Joe Cocker, Holly Johnson of Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Nona Hendrix, and many others. And a lot of listeners may remember him for his 1984 hit, I Can Dream About You, from the movie Streets of Fire.
No.
My memories were from his hit disco songs from 1978 and 1979 that just made you want to dance, like Instant Replay, and the medleys of Vertigo, Relight My Fire, and Countdown, This Is It. You remember those, don't you? Well, here's a very small sample.
I need.
Last June, when I interviewed Tom Robinson, I knew that he had been friends with Dan Hartman, and they had also worked together. So I asked him about Dan.
Tell me about your friendship with Dan Hartman.
I loved Dan Hartman. He was the most big-hearted, marvelous, marvelous man, and a great artist. Instant Replay was the soundtrack to gay disco life at a certain point, a certain important point in my life. And I think I first heard it in New York, where disco was first breaking out, before it was cool to like dance music, when it was still Disco Sucks and all the rest of it. And it was such a life-affirming, upbeat, wonderful song, and I bought the 12-inch version of it and everything. And all the sleep notes were handwritten by Dan on the back. And after my Still Loving You album came out, I got a letter out of the blue, handwritten, saying that the time has come for me to say how much I like your Still Loving You album, and just giving some words of praise and enjoyment about it. And it's signed Dan Hartman. And I rushed to my copy of Instant Replay to compare the handwriting, and it was the same handwriting. It was the same Dan Hartman. And so next time he came over to London, we met, and he came round and met my partner Susie at the time, and got on really well with her, and him and his partner Richard, and me and Suze used to sort of go out and have meals and stuff together, and we became good friends. We wrote a few songs together, including Tomboy, which was my tribute to Suze. And it was great because he liked Still Loving You for its gay content. It's gay, not content, it's gay sensibility. That even if the songs weren't specific with pronouns here or there, it was a song, there were songs pretty much about one gay love affair running through that. And he picked up on that and enjoyed it. And so it was really nice to write with him, and for him not to have any kind of problem with the fact that I was living with a woman now, and that you know, my bisexuality was neither here nor there to him. You know, we were kindred spirits with the same sensibility. We both loved men. We both had similar experiences in growing up. And he'd done all this extraordinary music and production. Saw him working on the Tina Turner album that he was later to produce. He did James Brown's Living in America, gave James Brown his comeback. He did the same for Tina Turner. And he had a demo set up in London and showed us, and he went in there and he just sang a perfect facsimile of Tina Turner's voice to the backing track so that it was demoed for her so she could hear how she would sound on it. And he was perfect. He could do a complete mimic of Tina Turner. It was marvellous. And he said, "That should please the bitch." And so, of course, I'm not going to say that when I meet her. He's gone, "Yes, Miss Turner, no, Miss Turner." But he was such a funny man, so full of life, and with a huge, big heart. And then we didn't hear from him for a little bit, and suddenly I got a phone call from Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood to say Dan was dead. And it just broke my heart. Just broke my heart. Missing him. And he hadn't told anyone he was ill. He couldn't even accept it himself. He didn't take treatment for it because he didn't want to acknowledge that he was ill. And his good friends and mine, Vicky Wickham and Nona Hendricks, finally filled me in on what had happened and the whole story, which is just tragic. Just a big tragedy. And he wouldn't let his friends help him towards the end. He was very private at the same time as being very open and warm-hearted. I think he did keep a fortress around him.
His songs, Instant Replay and Relight My Fire, are two Get Out of My Way, I Must Dance Now songs.
They are. I would heartily agree with that.
I'm going to end the show with Dan Hartman's biggest hit, a million seller from 1978. But before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening, and to thank Randy Jones of the Village People and Tom Robinson for their interview comments to help make this show special. And again, I want to give thanks to my friend David Norman in England for his very knowledgeable input. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I'd love it if you did. My website, logically enough, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and please tune in on the fourth Monday of next month for the next edition of Queer Music Heritage. And now, as promised, in my opinion, one of the greatest songs of the disco era, Instant Replay by Dan Hartman.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
Welcome to a very special edition of Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle. This is a kind of bonus edition, as my regular monthly show will still be heard as usual on the fourth Monday of the month. And the reason for this show is to help honor Coming Out Day, which is this Friday, October 11th. The theme of Coming Out Day this year is Being Out Rocks. So the editor of Outsmart magazine asked me to write an article on queer music that rocks. The article can be found in the current issue, and in it, as on this show, I've decided to focus, oh so subjectively, on some rock songs with queer references that you probably already know. And then, in my unofficial capacity as a queer music historian, I'm going to share with you some you probably don't know, but should. I've got two quick examples of hit songs from the 50s that contain a gay element, and I'll play snippets of each, starting with this one. Of course, that was Elvis with Jailhouse Rock from 1957. Now, since that was probably not a co-ed prison, didn't you ever wonder why that prisoner thought his fellow inmate was so cute? And what doing the Jailhouse Rock really meant? And then, on to 1959, when the Clovers sang about the consequences of drinking too much Love Potion No. 9.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I saw the kiss and everything in sight. But when I kissed the cop at 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of Love Potion No. 9.
I guess we're left to speculate on whether our narrator got in trouble for kissing a cop or because the cop was a man. Now, these songs only briefly touched into the area of gay lyrics. My next song jumped in with both feet. It's a classic, and you probably already recognize it in the background. From 1972, Lou Reed walked on the wild side as he sang about transvestites, male hustlers, and a drag queen named Candy giving head.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do.
Ah, that's my favorite part of that record. That Walk on the Wild Side got played on the radio enough for it to become a hit is still kind of amazing. But I guess we shouldn't have been all that surprised, as 2 years earlier, Ray Davies and the Kinks gave us Lola, and it had some classic lines.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A, Lola. La 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 Lola.
I'm not the world's most physical guy, but I just squeeze my
That song made it into the top 10. You'll notice I'm only playing parts of these songs. That's because, well, I think you already are quite familiar with them. And this will allow me time to play in entirety the songs in the second part of the show. Songs that may be completely new to you. I've got two more songs from the 70s. One was a little controversial as to whether it was really what it seemed. Was it really a song about a man singing about his love to another man? Take a quick listen. That was Elton John singing Daniel, and it made it to number 2 in 1972. I guess I prefer to think that, yes, it was that male-to-male love song, but then I warned you that this was a subjective list. This song was from Elton John years before he came out as bisexual, and later as gay. And you might remember that in 1984 he married a woman. I don't know what that was all about, but I remember at the time seeing on television an interviewer asking his friend Rod Stewart if he was surprised to hear that Elton John got married. Rod replied, "Wouldn't you be?" Rod Stewart brought us what is probably the first sympathetic song about a gay bashing. From 1977, his record, The Killing of Georgie, climbed all the way to number 30.
Oh, yeah.
In these days, changing ways, so-called liberated days, a story comes to mind, a friend of mine. Georgie boy was gay, I guess, nothing more or nothing less, the kindest guy I ever knew. His mother's tears fell in vain the afternoon George tried to explain that he needed love like all the rest. Paul says there must be a mistake. How can my son not be straight after all I've said and done for him? Leaving home on a Greyhound bus, cast out by the ones he loves, a victim of these gay days it seems. The great white way, accepted by Manhattan's elite, and all the places that were chic. No party was complete without George. Along the boulevards he cruised, and all the old queens blew a fuse. Everybody loved Georgie boy. Was in the summer of 75. He said he was in love. I said I'm pleased. George attended the opening night of another Broadway hype, but split before the final curtain fell. Deciding to take a shortcut home, arm in arm they meant no wrong. A gentle breeze blew down Fifth Avenue.
just one aim, to roll some innocent passerby. There ensued a fearful fight, screams roll out in the night. George's head in a sidewalk cornerstone. A leather kid, a switchblade knife, did not intend to take his life. He just pushed his luck a little too far that night. Dispersed again, a crowd gathered, the police came, an ambulance screamed to halt on 53rd and 3rd. George's life ended there, but I ask who really cares? George once said to me, and I quote, said, never wait or hesitate. Get in gear before it's too late. You may never get another chance. 'Cause youth's a mask, but it don't last. Live it long and live it fast. Georgie was a friend of mine.
Also from 1977 was the last song I'm featuring from the 70s, and it's about one of the strongest gay anthems you could imagine. There's no doubt whatsoever about the message given by the Tom Robinson Band.
Glad to Be Gay was not a hit, but I'm playing it in the Songs You Already Know section because I simply do not want to believe, despite the song not making the charts, that any gay or lesbian listening to this show could not be aware of it. I started off the show with Diana Ross singing in the background her 1980 hit, I'm Coming Out. Now, personally, I never thought her delivery of it packed the necessary sincerity, even acknowledging her being straight. And who knows if the writers, Edwards and Rogers, had calculated their lyrics to appeal to the gay disco market. But appeal it did. And even if we didn't think it was really about coming out of the closet, it was fun to pretend. Now, I'm usually pretty much a purist about dance music.
From my soapbox, I usually say that disco or club music is not gay music at all, because almost all of it is sung by straight women, and it only very rarely contains gay lyrics. Okay, I got that out of the way. Now I can honor a dance hit that I think was one of the most influential gay songs of the last 20 or 30 years. I love this record. It's Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat. In it, Jimmy Somerville uses his haunting falsetto to tell us about a young man who feels he has to run away from home to escape his world. And in his world, he was persecuted for being gay. It conveys the sadness of his life, but also the hope of finding a new life where he could be himself. This was a powerful record, and I have a close friend who shared with me that this song helped him deal with being gay. The song just broke into the top 50 in 1984, and Somerville has gone on to release other fine recordings as a member of the Communards and as a solo artist, and all the while never flinching as being an openly gay artist. Now, there was another record from that same year that also did not flinch. Flinch is about the last word you might think of when the group Frankie Goes to Hollywood suddenly shattered our senses with their mega hit, Relax. It even spawned a wave of Frankie mania in England at the time, as they sang,
Thank you.
I can remember the controversy at the time, and even seeing, just once, MTV play the initial video for it, which was quickly banned. That version showed what looked a little like a Roman orgy at an S&M bar. Gee, I wonder if that video is still available. Anyway, another song that had a striking video was Joe Jackson's Real Men. From 1982, this was a mini masterpiece of social commentary, as he sang about society condemning those who fit into certain stereotypes, like being gay, while it moved on to question the role of masculinity in society itself. A remarkable song.
Take your mind back, I don't know when, sometime when it always seemed to be just us and them. Girls that wore pink, boys that wore blue, boys that always grew up better men than me and you. A man now, what's a man mean? Is he rough or is he rugged? Is he cultural and clean? Now it's all changed, it's got to change more, 'cause we think it's getting better, but nobody's really sure. And so it goes, go round again, but now and then.
I can still remember watching the video and thinking, wow, is that song about what I think it is? It indeed was.
Come to my window, crawl inside, wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window, I'll be home soon.
I've got one more song I want to mention from the Songs You Probably Know section of the show. I couldn't possibly leave out Melissa Etheridge because she forged her own way into the world of rock and has been producing excellent music for many years. To represent her, I picked one of her first big hits. Here's Come to My Window.
I would dial the numbers just to listen to your breath, and I would stand inside my hell and hold the hand of death. Don't know how far I'd go to ease this precious week. And you don't know how much I need, or how much I can take. Just to reach you, just to reach you.
Shaking all the rest, just to reach you.
Melissa Etheridge from her 1993 album, Yes I Am. Okay, now for the part of the show that is especially fun for me, because I get to share some outstanding and very queer music. These are almost all by independent artists, which means you probably haven't heard them on the radio, unless you've heard them on my show or on Jimmy Carper's After Hours. By the way, this is a great time to remind you to be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Also, I invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com, where you can view the playlist and see photos of the artists and recordings and listen to the show anytime. Okay, on to some songs I think you'll enjoy. The first one is actually by an artist you probably do know. Pete Townshend of The Who released a surprising solo album in 1980 called Empty Glass. One of the songs on it was called Rough Boys, and listen for the lines like Come a Little Closer, Rough Toys Under the Sheets, and I Want to Bite and Kiss You. Just amazing. Here is Rough Boys.
Rough boys, under
From the album Empty Glass, that was Pete Townsend. He's given various interviews over the years in which he's both verified and denied his own homosexual experiences. In a recent Rolling Stone interview, he as much as said that in the 60s he did so much drugs that he was not sure what he remembers. From Rough Boys, I'm moving now to A Boy with a Secret. That's the name of the song on the debut album by Barnes called Loud Boy Radio from 1998. I think the song has really interesting and very out lyrics. I was able to get some comments by Barnes about it.
First of all, thank you so much for selecting this song as one of your shortlists. It's been a really, really meaningful song for me personally in that it really is the story of my own growing up feeling like I had a dirty secret. And I never really understood what made me different growing up. I knew that I was not right. I knew I wasn't normal. And a lot of things happened to me as a kid, as does happen to a lot of queer kids, where I didn't really know I was gay yet, but like other people did. And so there was some abuse and a couple of sexual incidences when I really wasn't sexually active yet, but the adults were. And those things are in the song, as is the moment where my mom actually discovered me with my first boyfriend. She came home from a writing conference in Berkeley a day early, and she discovers us with our pants kicked off on the stairs, all upstairs, and that really was a true thing, and all of it's true. There's nothing in that song, including the priest eyeing my crotch while talking about God. It's all stuff that I thought other people would relate to. I really just kind of burned through my shame, burned through my self-judgment about what it was okay or not okay to talk about, and I think the reaction, when I was writing the song, and I think the reaction to the song tends to be, especially for gay people, like that kind of recognition, that kick of recognition that I really wanted. And in terms of the response to the song, the letters started to come from kids on army bases who were isolated, and I started to get that kind of confirmation that I had spoken to people who were not yet able to speak for themselves with that song.
The other boys like girls, I got a crush on my friend, just the same, like the same things. We fool around on the top of his old bunk bed. He said, don't tell, or he can't be my friend.
stranger to you.
Boy with a secret got found out.
Barnes is from Canada, and from hearing Boy with a Secret, it's almost hard to believe that for a while he was a member of the successful a cappella group, the Nylons, as the styles are so different. I've played the next song before in this show, as it's a great song to play during Gay Pride Month. From 1995 is an artist named Jalen Ricks singing I Saw Jesus Down at Stonewall.
Church bells are ringing. The members wear their best. In the pews they are waiting for their holy guest. And the pastor knows his sermon. The choir stands in rows. There's a sense that something's missing, 'cause the guest of honor never. I can feel our hearts unfold. What would churches think that the Christ has come to this watery hole? I saw Jesus down at Stonewall, and he didn't seem the least upset. I saw Jesus down at Stonewall. That's the place we finally.
Yes, I Saw Jesus Down at Stonewall by Jalen Ricks. And if some of these artists' names are not familiar to you, remember, you can always go to my webpage for this show where you can link to their sites. Now for another very powerful song where the artist, Scott Free, is singing about our place in society. I asked Scott to tell us about his song, Not Good Enough.
It's a song about growing up gay and that long period where you're just waiting to be free, really. It's those long years when you're trapped in school, parents, friends, and, you know, you're in the closet, basically, if you have the awareness enough to understand your sexuality, but it's about that period of time.
It's kind of an angry song.
Yeah, Not Good Enough definitely has a lot of anger. It points towards again, the violence that happens to us, especially as kids growing up. And it just, it also talks about what happens to us when we have that pushed on us. Some of us commit suicide. Some of us just hold that in, and it comes out in other ways as an adult. So it's a lot also about kind of self-esteem and how, you know, having to live in the closet when you're growing up can have a very damaging effect on you.
When we were young, we knew we were different. We didn't know how or why. And as we grew up, we found what was different was only our dreams and desires. But we learned the names that they had for us. We prayed they would never discover us. And as we waited silently, quietly, we learned them silently, quietly, we learned them, oh, we learned them. How could we just believe what they said?
From his 1999 album, The Living Dead, that was Scott Free. I just love the opening verse of the next song I want to share with you. Meg Hentges wraps very catchy music around her wonderful lyrics for her song, This Kind of Love.
Crossing over the road. was he saying from the pulpit when I was dozing in the pew? You know they hide in public restrooms like a monster underneath the bed. They will devour you. You can't, you don't, you won't amount. You don't add up to nothing. Zero and zero is the girl and girl.
Meg Hench has included her song, This Kind of Love, on her CD, Brompton's Cocktail, and the song won a Glamma Award for Outsong of the Year for 1999. Also, Meg was at one time a member of the group Two Nice Girls, and has always been on the cutting edge with her music. Up next is another in-your-face queer song, and I love it. The song is by Mark Islam, and appeared on his album from 1998 called The Recent Past. It's called Get Used to It. I was pleased to get Mark to tell us about it.
I wrote Get Used to It as a reaction to a specific event in my life where I was going to UC Berkeley one summer session, and I was riding in an elevator in my dorm. There was a sort of bulkily built frat type, well, you know, like a football player type, who he never liked me, and I knew why. I knew that he was deeply homophobic. And let it be known in his energy, in his demeanor. And anyway, so I was on this elevator with him, and he had a tennis racket. And he kept staring at me menacingly, while slamming the rim of his tennis racket into his open palm. It was definitely a threat. There was something about my presence in the elevator with him that was a threat to him. And I started writing this song because I wasn't going to just take it. And so, you know, in writing the song, what I wanted to do was sort of hold up a mirror to the person who has a problem with it. If you notice in all the verses, I'm asking and I'm being confrontational. I'm saying, what's the matter? You know, do I threaten you? Every single verse opens up with that expression, and reaction has been all over the map, but I don't necessarily ever do anything for reaction. I'm usually writing and recording to figure out where I am, you know, and my big hope is that people see themselves in my writing.
What's the matter? Do I threaten you? Frighten you? Or do I conjure up? So insecure,
You're not sure. You look at me. It's like looking at a grave. I will not apologize. I will not justify my love. I'm here. I'm queer.
Now for my last song, I've got to include one by Pansy Division. But gee, I like all six of their albums that they've released since 1992. And frankly, there are very few of their songs that could be played on the radio, and many of which I couldn't even tell you the titles on the air. Still, this group produces downright fun punk rock music. Hey, it's more than that. It's aggressively raw material that deals with many elements of gay culture, and with lots and lots of sex. They are not afraid to sing at the top of their voices about what they want. There's a real element of, okay, reality about their lyrics. But again, they do it with charm and humor. It's not an angry attack, it's more of a wink. But before I play the song I picked by them, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show. And I want to thank Barnes, Mark Islam, and Scott Free for their comments about their songs. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. And again, my website with more info about all the songs you've heard is logically enough
at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle with Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. Now, closing the show from Pansy Division from their 1992 album Undressed, here is Rock and Roll Queer Bar.
Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Don't care about heterosexuality. Rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar. That's not what I wanna be. Rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar. I just wanna have some kicks. I just wanna get some dicks. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Well, the boys out there knock me out. Rock, 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 roll, queer bar, cruising around for a cute homo. Rock, 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 roll, queer bar. I hate the yuppies and the sweater queens and the overpriced cars and the acid wash jeans. Rock, 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 roll, queer bar. Rock, 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 roll, queer bar. Fun, fun, rock and roll, queer bar. Fun, fun, rock and roll, queer bar. Fun, fun, rock and roll, queer bar.
In 1971, a courageous group of veterans exposed the criminal nature of the Vietnam War in an event called Winter Soldier. This month, members of Iraq Veterans Against the War will give first-person accounts of what is really happening day in and day out on the ground. The events will bring together veterans from across the country to testify about their experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan and present video and photographic evidence of war crimes they have witnessed. In addition, there will be panels of scholars, veterans, journalists, and other specialists to give context to the testimony. Join KPFT at noon from March 24th through 28th for a special series of open journals.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.